We here at St. Andrews we aren't a perfect community, but there is no such thing, I think, as a perfect community. And sometimes there may be some of us who do not get along with other people. But the one thing I've always been very proud about this mission is that there is a general love and respect that I haven't seen in all places that I've either attended and served. We are, though, let's admit it, primarily a white congregation. We are awfully diverse for the size of our, of our community. And along with people from different races and ethnicities, we have people from many places and relationships and citizenships. We have immigrants. We have people who have been here, at least their families have been here for generations. We also have members whose family has been here in millennia in this country. And still we come together as one people. In your bulletin, along with your lectionary insert, you'll notice that I have placed two other additions. One is a message from our bishop in regards to the removal of the Robert E. Lee plaques at St. John's at Fort Hamilton, as well as the bishop's view in regards to a lot of what's going on in regards to race. The other is the Sunday insert that's sent out by the diocese. And this week it features an excerpt from a piece written by our presiding bishop, Michael B. Curry, entitled, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community? Which is a title based on a piece written by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And in this article and this reflection that our presiding bishop has provided us, he speaks of the beloved community. Now, the beloved community is a topic often brought up by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but it was coined by an early 20th century theologian by the name of Josiah Royce. And it's this idea of the beloved community is a people of God coming together to care for one another, to love one another, but also to be an example and a place of haven and safety for other people, and where all people are welcome. To bring about our mission of establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth by being an example to other people of what life in Christ is all about. And as I said, we are not at all a perfect community, but when it comes to being a beloved community, I see few examples of it better than I see here. But the thing is that we need to go outside of the church as well, to continue our work of proclaiming the good news to other people of the love of God, of acceptance, of inclusiveness. And we do that in various ways already, such as going out to a veteran's place, serving the meal every few weeks in Mastic Beach. And we're always exploring different ways to reach out and get beyond our own boundaries. And sometimes it's getting beyond the boundaries of our own comforts. One of the things that the last few weeks, I think, has done for many of us as Christians is pushed us out of a comfort zone. It's put us in a place where we can no longer idly sit back and ignore the hatred that is all around us, that we can no longer ignore the verbal or physical violence in the world in which we live, that we have to face our own biases and our own feelings. In our gospel today, we have Jesus talking to his disciples. And he's asking them two questions. He asks them two questions. The first one is, who do people think I am? And they're spouting off John the Baptist and Elijah, basically pulling out everything from the most current prophet to the prophets of old to the patriarchs. And then Jesus asked them, who do you think I am? And without missing a beat, Peter tells them, you're the Messiah. And for this, Jesus tells Simon, from now on, you're going to be Peter. You're going to be the rock. You're going to be the one on whom I build this church. To you is given the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom. Now, this to some people may look like a promotion, but I'm sure it's a promotion that there was many times in Peter's life he would have been glad to hand back over to somebody else. Those of us who have read through the Acts of the Apostles, who have read the various letters by St. Paul and the letters by Peter, realize that Peter's life after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ was anything than an easy life. Peter had to leave his home and travel to various places that were strange to him. He was the foreigner at all times, generally speaking to people who spoke a different language than he did, dealing with people who were prejudiced against him because he came from somewhere else, to share the message of love, to bring about the kingdom of God to all people. He often was abused and insulted by others that he tried to bring the gospel to. But what made it worse is, if you read the gospel, there was many times he was even being hauled on the carpet by his brothers in faith, forced to explain himself to people who came after him. But with humility, with love, with a strength gained through his calling, he persevered until, dying in a strange and mostly pagan city of Rome, some 40 years afterwards, 30, 40 years afterwards, bringing the gospel to so many people. Now, most of us will not be asked to go out to a foreign place. Well, at least not the other side of the world. But we are being asked to leave our comfort, places of comfort. We are being asked to go out into the world around us to be example of Christ's love, to establish the beloved community in all places, especially those places that are now torn apart by hatred and strife. In his message, the presiding bishop writes, "I know too well that talk of the beloved community, which Jesus was describing when he spoke of the kingdom of God in our midst, can be dismissed as nice but naive, idealistic yet unrealistic. I know this. But I also know this. The way of beloved community is our only hope. In this most recent unveiling of hatred, bigotry, and cruelty, as neo-Nazis marched and chanted, 'The Jews will not replace us,' we have seen the alternative to God's beloved community. That alternative is simply unthinkable. It is nothing short of a nightmare of human self-destruction and the destruction of God's creation, and that is unthinkable too." So we have a choice of establishing and working towards the beloved community Christ has called us to, or basically the anti-community, a place of chaos and hatred. We can be the voice of love, or by our silence give tacit permission to those who would tear us apart. In the old Sunday school song, we are told they will know we are Christians by our love. And sometimes I have to ask myself, would anybody know I'm a Christian by what I'm displaying to the world in which I'm living? Our Archbishop, our presiding bishop continues by saying, "We who follow Jesus have made a choice to walk a different way, the way of discipline, intentional, compassionate, mobilized, organized love on intent on creating God's beloved community on earth." So we see the starts of a beloved community looking around this church. Again, not a perfect place. Not always a place where everybody is always getting along, but for the most part, a very respectful, loving place. We have a choice on whether to remain silent, or we can take what we know here out in the world as both individuals and as a mission. We can share that love with all people, to let them know that, yeah, it's not perfect, but you're welcome. You may be different, but you're my sister, you're my brother, you're my sibling. You are one with me in this beloved community of God. I don't generally preach the colic, but I think today's colic really does speak to our times. And if you'd all like to pull out your inserts. And I invite you to pray with me. "Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, May show forth your power among all people to the glory of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with Holy God, one God forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah.